You're not alone.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Salt Mines X-Wing Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the backbone of the X-Wing community. That's right, people just like you and me are doing what we can to get better at the game. In today's episode, we're going to return to an old favorite, where we're going to look at the mid-range lists at the, Bespin Galaxies Qualifier, put on by Gold Squadron Podcast. So, without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. Actually, I lied. There's a couple things that I want to talk about first before we do that. First thing, if you haven't already, look at the Patreon for Salt Mines X-Wing. We will be starting a giveaway if we can get up to 5 patrons. We'll be doing a monthly small ship giveaway. The bottom tier gets you 1 entry into that. The top tier gets you 3 entries, I believe is what I said, into the giveaway. And if it's 5 or less, then we'll be doing a small ship monthly. If it's 10 or more, we'll be jumping up to a medium ship. And if it is 15 or more, we'll be doing a squadron pack. And again, that will be monthly and only available for our patrons. Also in that, I am working on a custom token for the game since we are returning to in-person play. And that will only go out to our original patrons. So if you want a chance to get in on that action, become a patron today. All right. I think that's all I wanted to talk about right now. Let's go ahead and dig into these mid-range lists that we saw at Bespin. Starting off, our highest one came in ranked 39. With a total MOV of 1617, and it was Juan Carlos Ruiz, or Afro Geek, flying General Grievous with Imperium Plating Solus 1, with 2 bombardment drones with proximity mines, and 3 Trade Federation drones with Discord missiles and grappling struts. So we've got a nice little separatist salad here. Can't really say much. I think depending on each one of these things is efficient on its own, so combined all together, I can see how it came together to... Man, sorry, my brain is fried today. I can see how it came together to make it this far. All efficient pieces put together. All right. Now that I've repeated myself several times, let's move on to the next one. So we've got coming in at 40th overall is Michael Turner with an MOV of 1515, flying Django Zam. We've seen Django Zam a lot. I really think it depends on what you... put on these ships that really determines how far you'll go in this particular combo. And here we've seen with both having jamming beam, Django having seasoned navigator, thermal detonators, and contraband cybernetics, Zam having Count Dooku thermal detonators, contraband cybernetics, the Slave One title with Boba Fett gunner. So not a bad build out, but I do believe the treacherous build outs with the double force users and hull upgrades is a more effective way to run this list, if that's what you're looking at doing. All right, next we've got Tommy Adams coming in at 1442 MOV, running Wedge Antilles in the X-Wing, a Rogue Squadron escort with fire control, proton torpedoes, and R3 Astromech, Jake Farrell with proton rockets, and AP5 with Leia Organa. Can I just say that I really like this list, especially the Rogue Squadron with fire control, proton torpedoes, and R3 Astromech. That E-Wing packs a punch. backed up by Jake. There's a good chance of that E-Wing hitting first round of combat with a target lock, focus, and evade, which is insane. I really like that. Great job, Tommy. All right, next coming in 42 overall was James Hook with a 1385 MOE. And we see this double ups Kylo Ren, where we've got Kylo, Lieutenant Tavson, and Petty Officer Thanissen, all of them naked. Solid first order list here. Not really much to talk about. All right, next we've got Matt Anderson. And let's see, I think I can share my screen here for those watching. Nope. Wrong desktop. Let's see. Okay, we're just not going to mess with it this time. I'll fix it later. All right, next, we've got Matt Anderson coming in 43rd overall with a 1349 MOV, flying Zam Wessel with jamming beam Count Dooku thermal detonators and false transponder codes, and General Grievous with Solus One bombardment drone. With General Grievous with Solus One, a bombardment drone with proximity mines and landing struts, and DFS 311. Now, for those that aren't familiar, DFS 311 is the vulture droid that lets you pass a calculate to whoever might need it. So pretty interesting in this list overall. You're definitely seeing Zam and friends. Not sure how I feel about it overall, but obviously Matt doing well, going 3-3 with a decent MOV. All right, next we've got Enrico Coupe, or Eno, flying another Jango Zam list. So this time we've got Jango with Count Dooku thermal detonators, false transponder codes, and hull upgrade, and Zam with Palpatine thermal detonators, false transponder codes, and hull upgrade. So I think this is closer to the build that we see as successful for Zam and Jango, but not quite there. All right, next we've got Jordan, I'm going to torture this name, Vozinilik, coming in at 45th overall with a 1299 MOV, flying a scum salad with Victor Hell with cutthroat, tracers and stealth device, Genesis Red with plasma torpedoes, Joy Rekoff with cutthroat and ion torpedoes, and Nom Lom with proton torpedoes, auto blasters, Zam Wessel, and Greedo. That's a pretty interesting combination. So I like cutthroat on both Victor and Joy, being able to get those extra charges for Victor on the stealth device. Recharging stealth device is big, adding in that stealth control, and then Nom Lom saying, "Shoot me, I dare you." With Zam and Greedo is a pretty funny combination. I like it. All right, next we've got Lee Holland coming in 46 overall with a 1290 MOV, flying Nash Windrider with three Saber Squadron Aces with Discipline and Echo with Discipline. So I like this. You've got the all fours with the exception of Nash, and we know how powerful Discipline can be. Just solid list overall. All right, next we've got Bradley Hall coming in 47th with a 1259 MOV, flying Dengar with cutthroat, proton torpedoes, Greedo, contraband cybernetics, punishing one, and R3 astromech, Finn Rao with fearless, and Genesis Red with cutthroat and proton torpedoes. So the idea here is go ahead, kill something, you'll let me recharge one of my proton torpedoes, which could be really, really nasty on ships that don't typically have that. So, crazy. All right. Coming in at 48th is McKay Goldring, flying another Scum Dengar list. So this one is Dengar with Cutthroat, Jamming Beam, Hotshot Gunner, Contraband Cybernetics, Punishing One, and R5 TK. Nomlom with Ion Cannon, Protectorate Gleb, Deadman Switch, and Electronic Baffle. And Bosk with Cutthroat, Gamut Key, Zamwessel, BT-1, Contraband Cybernetics, and Shield Upgrade, going 3-3 overall. Well done. So again, what we see here is you have Dengar coming in, stripping tokens, potentially charging up Zam on Bost with that jamming beam in the first couple of engagements. Pretty interesting list overall. All right, next we got Mitch Bordeaux coming in also 3-3 with a 1250 MOV, flying 5X with a twist. So this is 5 Cavern Agent Zealots with false transponder codes. So we know 5X is strong. We know 5 false transponder codes is good. So not surprised to see that here. All right. Next, we've got Gary Ball flying Bosk with Jabba the Hutt, Greedo, Contraband Cybernetics, Lando Calrissian with Zamwessel, BT-1, false transponder codes, and Lando's Millennium Falcon, and Asajj Ventress with 000, false transponder codes, and Shadow Caster. So, interesting here. You're running all fours on the scum level. You've got Jabba the Hutt to keep either contraband or false transponders running, which is pretty interesting. I like that. And then Asajj with the stress control, whether you're at range 1 with 000 or in her arcs. So that could be pretty gross. All right. Next, we've got Dan Stevens running the bugs, at coming in with an MOV of 1226 with 6 Stalgazian Hive Guards. We don't really need to talk about this. We know the Nantecs are good. Surprised to see him go only 3-3, but I think that means that they're just more balanced than they were, and he has to rely a little bit more on dice variants than all the tricks that come with, that used to come with the 6 Nantecs, especially at that I-4. All right, next we've got, at coming in at 52 overall, was Matt Newt, flying 4 Cavern Angel Zealots with S-Foils and 2 Bandit Squadrons with Tracers. So here we go. We've got 6 bodies on the board, all at I-1, and then 2 of them running those Tracers to try to get everyone locks and just make everyone else punch harder. Straightforward. I like it. All right, next we've got Paul Saborin Herzog? Sorry, I mispronounced your name. Paul came in 53 overall with a 1200 even MOV, flying Lieutenant Lehus with Special Forces Gunner, Recoil with Predator, Lieutenant Rivas, and Petty Officer Thanissen with Sensor Buoy Suite and Captain Phasma. So, interesting First Order list. Kind of components you don't see that often all put together, but obviously he was able to do a good job with it, winning 3 overall. So I'm kind of curious on how he set up, how it was flown. It seems like a very, very interesting list. I really love the Lieutenant Lehus, Lieutenant Rivas combo. I think that is way underrated tool in the First Order box. All right. Coming in at 54 overall, we've got Tuan Coleman flying another Django Zam. So this time Django's running Lone Wolf with Count Dooku, Thermal Detonators, False Transponder Codes, and Hull Upgrade. And Zam running Palpatine with Thermal Detonators and False Transponder Codes. Coming in 55 overall is Nick Killing, coming in with an 1182 MOV, flying 1-2 cartel spacers with tractor beam, and 1-2-3-4-5 with auto blaster. I believe this is very similar, if not the same list, that Octor Khan was flying. We know that it does well. There's a lot of factors that could have played into why he only went 3-3 and Octor did so much better with nearly the same list. And we'll just have to talk to the pilot to find out what that was. All right. Almost done here. Going on to 56 overall was Duncan Mattingly, coming in at 1176 MOV, flying Death Ray with Corsella, Rose Tico, Finn, and Ray's Millennium Falcon, Merrill Cobbin, and Poe Dameron with overdrive thrusters and heroic in foils. We know Death Ray is a very powerful piece. We know Poe can be a powerful piece, and we know that Merrill, if flown correctly, can also be a powerful piece. So not surprised to see these three together to do well. All right, next we've got Brendan Morrissey, coming in 57 overall with an 1133 MOV, flying Tarani Kolda with cluster missiles, R5TK, cluster missiles, by the way, if I could pronounce it, munition failsafe, Captain Justero, Bosk with Zam Wessel, Greedo, and Contraband Cybernetics, and Torkel Mux. Oh man. The potential nastiness in these combos. Being able to charge up Zam with Tarani starting early, and then that double auto damage if you're in Tarani's bullseye, triggering Captain Justero, and all of that. If you're initiative zero, then you have to deal with maybe not getting to shoot, maybe getting wiped from the board before you even get a chance to do that. So definitely a scummy list there. All right, 58 overall, we've got Tadjez Moknik coming in at 1090 MOV, flying a two-ship list. So well done going 3-3 with the two-ship list in this meta, but flying Super Death Ray, so Corsella, Rose, Finn, False Transponder Code, Stealth Device, and Ray's Millennium Falcon, and Fat Poe, flying Lone Wolf, R4 Astromech, Overdrive Thrusters, Integrated S-Foils, and Advanced Proton Torpedoes. Pretty straightforward there. Good job on going 3-3. All right, next is Christopher Dunn, 59th overall, coming in at 1070 MOV, flying Fifth Brothers with passive sensors and homing missiles, Nash Rinwider with Discipline, and three Discipline Saber Squadron Aces. So, we've got those I-4s again, which is really starting to pop up more in the game, which I love seeing outside of the welterweight tournaments. And the passive sensors homing missile combo on Fifth Brother is just nasty, especially when going against aces. All right, next coming in at 60 overall was Drew Farian with a 1057 MOV, flying Gamut Key with Cutthroat, Protectorate Glib, False Transponder Codes, and Moldy Crow. Keto Lichos with Cutthroat Cluster Missiles and False Transponder Codes. Captain Seavor, and then two Black Sun Aces with Cutthroat and False Transponder Codes. So, I'm not sure what to make of this list. I think everyone in here is I3, so interchangeable. Maybe Keto's I4? I'm trying to remember what he does. Hold on, let me look it up real quick. Boom, boom, boom. No, he is I3. And his ability is, at the start of the engagement phase, you may choose one friendly ship at 0 to 2 if you do, transfer one focus or evade token from that ship to yourself. Interesting. So you've got all I3s kind of going around and possibly getting those double modded cluster missiles from Gamut Key. So yeah, I like it. All right, next we've got at 61 overall was Leia Winfield. Leal Winfield? I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your names. Flying Finrao, Naked, Bossk with Zam Wessel, Kamek Key, and Greedo, and Kanan Jarrus with Protectorate Gleb and Moldy Crow. So you've got Kanan Jarrus to kind of for that defensive help, and then Bossk just trying to hold on to as many tokens as he can with Kamek Key and getting the creeps with Greedo, and then Zam for that double attack with modification. So interesting list. All right, what do we got? Three more here. So coming in 62 overall was John Johnson, coming in with a 947 MOV, flying Colonel Gendon with Grand Moff Tarkin and targeting computer, and four naked Tempest Squadron pilots. I think if you're going to fly this list, flying a naked Gendon with the fire control systems passed out to the other ships makes a lot more sense. But good job on going 3-3 with this list. All right, coming in 63 overall was Marcel Manzano with a 786 MOV, flying Obi-Wan Kenobi with Sense, Predator, Tractor Beam, R2-D2, and Shield Upgrade, Rick O'Lee with Daredevil, Advanced Sensors, and R2 Astromech, and Anakin Skywalker with Intimidation, Collision Detector, R2 Astromech, and Advanced Proton Torpedoes. Sorry, that's a really weird list because R2 Astromech regens a shield, and only a shield, but Anakin Skywalker in the Ada 2, which is what it looks like he's got, doesn't have any shields, so that R2 Astromech... No, okay, sorry. That must be the Y-Wing Anakin. Let me see. Boy, I don't know. I think it's the Ada 2 because he has intimidation on him. But it can't be. Is it the Y-Wing? I don't understand how this list works. Oh. Oh, it's Baby Annie. Sorry for the brain fart. That actually makes a lot of sense. Because he does have that talent slot. Collision detector, R2 Astromech, advanced proton. Okay, now it's making sense. All right. And then our last 3-3 came in 64 overall was Hakan Johansson. Came in at a 699 MOV, flying a resistance list with a Red Squadron expert with jamming beam and foils, Jess Pava with foils and jamming beam, another Red Squadron expert with jamming beams and foils, Rose Tico with C-3PO, and a heroic Finn. Again, all strong pieces. Nice to see the list. So let's talk practicality for a minute. There's a lot of things that really play into where someone falls out overall in the list. So with these ones, the 3-3s, some of these lists we can kind of understand why they came in there. It was a strong list, but just not strong enough to really bump up into the next tier. But some of these lists, it really could just boil down to dice variants, placement, all that other fun stuff that really makes this game interesting. So I'm kind of glad to see the variety in the matchups or in the lists that we don't normally see. I'm actually really excited to see what the next ones are. So speaking of that, for those that are interested, let me go ahead and pull this up. The Galactic Championship Series is being held by Gold Squadron Podcast. It is a TTS event, and the next one is taking place on June 26th. It is a hyperspace event based out of Buenos Aires in Argentina, which is UTC minus 3. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name, but that is your next opportunity if you want to play. And if you want your next extended opportunity, that one's going to be July 17th, based out of Dublin, Ireland. And that one's going to be UTC plus 1. And then the next two after that are August 7th, based out of Denver, Colorado, UTC minus 6, that's extended. Tatooine, September 4th, based out of Cape Town, South Africa, so UTC plus 2. And then the final two qualifiers are on October 2nd, based out of Vancouver, Canada, or UTC minus 7, or October 23rd. Now, that one in Canada is hyperspace. And then October 23rd is extended, and that one's based out of Berlin, Germany, which is also UTC plus 2. If you haven't had a chance to sign up or play in one of these events, I highly encourage you to do it. Gold Squadron is doing so much to keep this community alive, and I would be remiss not to point that out and plug them a little bit here. All right. So with that said, if you like the podcast, please consider leaving a review however you consume it. If you'd like to support us financially, please consider becoming a patron. And again, all the stuff I talked about at the beginning of the episode will apply. And as you know, I like to end every podcast with a question. And my question for this episode is... Dun, dun, dun. No, I'm just kidding. It is, do you prefer hyperspace or extended when it comes to competition events? Obviously, we're seeing a lot of extended for the Galaxy Qualifier with only two hyperspace events, but I'm still curious to see how they all play out. All right, with that said, this is Sailor Joe signing off.
Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. You're not alone.